Romans 7, verse 25 through 8, verse 4, these are God's words. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So far the readings of God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle is rejoicing, he's thanking God through Jesus Christ his Lord, even though he has this sin that dwells in him, even though he has this remaining flesh, even though it seems so constant that it is actually a law that evil is present with him, the one who wills to do good. So as long as he is in this world, as long as he is in this dying body, evil will continue to be present with him. Yet, he himself with his mind serves the law of God. And so he knows that God, who has brought him into this new condition of loving God's law in Christ Jesus, is the one who's going to deliver him from his current condition of having evil present with him through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there are three things that he is sure of that are true for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the thing that ties from verse 25 in chapter 7 through especially verse 2 in chapter 8, but the thought is completed in verse 4 of chapter 8. So in 7:25, he thanks God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he will be delivered from the body of this death, at which point he will be delivered from the presence of sin. So that's one thing that is to come in Christ Jesus our Lord, deliverance both from this dying body and from the presence of sin. And something that there cannot be if you are in Christ Jesus. The second thing is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You do not have to wait to be delivered from the presence of your sin in order to be delivered from the guilt of your sin. If you are in Christ Jesus already, it's guilt is not being held against you. How does he know that it's guilt is not being held against him? Because if it's guilt was held against him, he wouldn't be able to love the law of God or to delight in it from his inner being, or to will to do good, or to agree with the law that it is good. These are all things that Jesus Christ has earned by righteousness that Paul and all other ordinary descendants of Adam had demerited by our guiltiness, and yet he has them. So he says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who walk in this way, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, there's only one way that he could be given the Holy Spirit, that he could be given life, and that is if Jesus is the one who has earned for him to receive the Holy Spirit. And so God's plan for those whom he would save, those for whom Christ died, those to whom he gives his Spirit, that they would be alive and believe in him and be joined to him and be freed from condemnation and be freed from the power of, or the dominion of sin, and able to love God's law and obey it. They're all one group. This is the way that he has come, not to have to respond to the law in the way of sin and the way in death, in the way of death, but now he can respond to God's law in the way of the Holy Spirit, making him agree with the law, will to do good, delight in the law, call the law holy and the commandment holy and righteous and good. All of these things have come to him in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ. And he underlines that this is the only way that it can happen, because the law, verse 3, could not have done this by itself. The law was weakened by the flesh. So God's good law, apart from Christ, apart from the Spirit, when God's good law came near, we would respond to it with sin, we would respond to it with more death. And yet God has done by his Son what the law couldn't do. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus came. He didn't come in sin, but he did come in true humanity so that we could be united to him. Now, when we are united to him, we're united to him in his obedience, and we're united to him in his death, and in both his active obedience and his death, which we call his passive obedience, because he willingly received what we deserve, not because he didn't do anything. We don't mean passive that way, but that he's the recipient of the action of God's wrath in that case, as he willingly underwent. In both his active obedience and in his suffering and death, Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in his flesh when in our flesh, clothed in true humanity, he obeyed God's law, confirmed. He is the original one who said the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And he delighted in God's law in his inner being. And he wept streams of tears because we did not because others did not obey his law. Jesus is the great singer of Psalm 119. Of course, some of that he had to sing in union with us, because he never had sin to be corrected for. And there's some of that in Psalm 119. But in the flesh, he condemned sin. And anyone who has been around someone whose morality, whose conduct is holier and more righteous than their own, feels that condemnation, is uncomfortable to be around someone who's making holier, more righteous choices, decisions, actions, desires, motivations, etc. Because righteousness condemns sin just in their being placed next to each other, just in their juxtaposition. And so he condemned sin in the flesh by his obedience, which is counted as ours in union with him when we believe in him. And he condemned sin in the flesh by offering himself to suffer the wrath of God due to our sin. He does that not merely to save us from the guilt and the penalty of our sin, but to affirm God's righteousness in pouring out wrath upon sin, to agree with God that it is wicked and it is worthy of wrath. And there's even an extent to which, in the mystery of God, that the Son is pouring wrath out on himself. For God judges and punishes sin. And so according to his divine nature, he's pouring out the wrath. And according to his human nature, he is suffering the wrath all at once. And we should not expect that we would be unable to unravel that or get our minds around it. Yet this is more of a proof that it is true than a disproof. Because if we could, then it would be unlikely that it was a divine and glorious truth about the weightiest, most profound thing that has ever happened. So Jesus condemns sin in the flesh in two different ways. And that enables us to obey in two different ways. First, his atoning for our guilt delivers us from the just penalty from God that we would remain in bondage to our sin, that we would remain in our sinfulness, that we would remain in our fleshliness, and therefore we would, the only resource from which we would be able to respond whenever we're in a situation where we're making a moral decision, which is continually, would be our fleshliness or our sinfulness. And we would only ever sin, and God's law to us then, when it comes and it tells us what is righteous and it commands us to do what is righteous, if all we have to respond from is our sin and our death, how are we going to respond to God's good law? With sin and death. But the atoning work of Christ has delivered us from that bondage. The death penalty has been paid. The marriage to sin and death that is ours from the covenant of works that we transgressed in Adam, that marriage is over. It has been ended by death. We are free from the authority of sin and death. But we don't just have the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom we are united, the one in whom we are now. We're no longer in the flesh. We are no longer in ourselves. We are in Christ. And he is a law-loving, law-keeping, law-obeying, sin-condemning Christ. And so it's in him and in our union with him that we are able to and love to and purpose to walk according to God's good law. And that's how verse 3 relates to verse 4. It is our union with Christ in both his passive obedience, which releases us from penalty, and his active obedience, which empowers us unto righteous walking. He condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. Don't have to anymore. But according to the Spirit. And what does that mean? According to the life of Christ, to whom we are united, as his, he and his life are applied to us by his Holy Spirit. And so, when we walk in a righteous way, we show that we have been delivered from the power of sin. We show that we are united to a righteous Christ. We show that he has kept his promise and poured out his Spirit. We show the glory of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to love what is good and do what is good. We bring great honor and praise to God. And one of the things that we show is that having been united to Christ, our guilt is gone. There's no condemnation. So it's in Christ that the past, present, and future of the believer are all bound up. It's in Christ that past, our condemnation has been removed forever. It's in the present that we are no longer under the power of sin. We no longer have to walk according to the flesh. Now we walk according to the Spirit. That's in Christ too. And it's in Christ, verse 25 of chapter 7, that we will finally be delivered even from the presence of sin and from the body of this death. All of those things come in union with Jesus Christ, past, present, and future for the believer. And so this helps us, I hope, take this no condemnation, which is so precious to us in verse 1, but we see how it's tied to our current condition, which is in the same union with Christ. And it gives us confidence for our future deliverance, which comes from the same union with Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for how your Son and his active and passive obedience have done all for us. Thank you for how your Spirit applies himself to us, that we may stand before you as beloved children, justified saints. We pray, Lord, that you would not let us walk according to our flesh and die. Forgive us, O God, for having done so much. We're grateful to you
that the removal of the condemnation comes first, that we may be freed repeatedly as we come to you in new repentance and needing new forgiveness with new resolve. We thank you that some of that resolve may be genuinely from Christ by your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to walk according to your Spirit and not according to the flesh. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.